We need downtime. We need we need recharge time.
Exactly.
And kids too, right? That's not a difficult concept.
These kids have, like, you know, midnight bedtimes. Our 10-year-olds have midnight bedtimes.
When do they go to school? What time?
You know, normal time, same time we go to school, like in the morning. But then, right after school, they're in Hagwon. And then after Hagwon, they're, like, doing homework till midnight or 1 a.m. And then, boom, they're sleeping. They're waking up. But, yeah.
Good Lord.
Oh. So, yeah, I don't think my kids are, at least by the end of the week, they're not exactly in the best frame of mind.
No.
I know. I just think that is the real solution. It's just...
cut back.
Just get a realistic grip on what your child is capable of absorbing during the week.
Yeah.
Have you noticed any of your kids are like stressed out 10-year-olds?
I have a few. Of course, where I see them, they're having fun. I'm not likely to see that nearly as much of that as you are, but I do see some kids that, you know, just one glance at them and thinking, good God, how much of the world are you carrying on your shoulders? Oh my Lord.
Yeah, I do have this one girl in one class, Janice, and she is like, every class is like, how are you, Janice? And it's always like she's just about to cry. These little tears welling up in her eyes. And she's always terrible. And I mean, I just bend over backwards every class to make her laugh, you know, trying to get a little laugh out of her. The other kids are laughing hysterically, but Janice is just kind of like, you can see she wants to laugh, but, you know, but what she really, 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 what she just wants to shout out is, I didn't ask to be born.
Poor thing.
This poor girl, yeah. Oh. And even Halloween, you know, like all the other kids are putting on devil masks and stuff, and Janice is just sitting there, and they, you know, they have to put the costume on her, and she's just kind of sitting there like, why am I here, how many more years until I die? Poor girl.
Speaking of children crying, I ended up inadvertently ruining a boy's Wednesday night.
Did you make a child cry?
I did.
Isn't that the coolest thing in the world?
It was, and just like he was, and we were really good buds before that.
Oh yeah.
I had this class for each evening all week.
All right.
So I got to actually get to know them. And we were really good buds, and he started launching into using a nickname for another kid that kid did not like at all.
Right.
So to turn it around, I gave my kid a nickname, and everybody laughed, and he lost it. He looked daggers at me all night, would barely speak to me Thursday night. Friday at graduation, he loosened up, and we made up again. But boy, it was...
That's something the first time. The first time you make a kid cry, what did I do? But after about the third time, it's just like...
Wimp.
Yeah.
No, I'm
not even halfway to kid quota this month to making kids cry. If I can't make 5 kids cry a month, I'm not doing my job.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna have to build up a thick skin about that, I guess.
You do, really.
Yeah, one of my fears is, it's like, okay, is some Korean adult 15, 20 years from now going to be sitting in a therapist's office talking about the experience he had when his foreign language teacher humiliated him in front of, you know, say, oh God, please don't let me be the cause of it. Please don't let me have to send someone to therapy.
I'm amazed that we're not jeered and attacked more on the street, you know,
by
both Korean kids and older kids who had their Hagwon nightmares. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know, it's amazing. You know, they'll still come up to you and hello.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't they look like every other Hagwon teacher that's ever treated you like crap, kid? You know?
Oh.
I don't know. Yeah. But I just suspect that no matter how much we yell at them, that's peanuts compared to the, you know, to the diabolical tortures of the Korean teachers, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
We're a walk in the park for them.
Okay. I do have to thank you for an insight you gave me some time ago about dandling over them the threat of calling their parents. Would you like me to call your mother and father? No, no teacher. No, no teacher. Okay, good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
Week's teaching opportunity.
Originally, our teaching opportunity this week, I was going to kind of comment on this really, really strange ad I saw, but I'm suspecting now it's a hoax. It seemed to be deleted, and I Googled, and I can't even find it, but I think it's a hoax. It looked like somebody was trying to advertise for a English teaching service for Korean businessmen, but they only wanted to hire attractive white women to kind of...
Who would be willing to be flexible.
Yeah, willing to be flexible. Teach them and, you know, norebangs and I don't know. But I think it's a little hoax now, but I kind of wanted to talk a bit about that.
Well, we probably shouldn't.
Yeah. But I can see it happening, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because in Japan, that's kind of... I think that actually goes on in Japan.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, and the other big thing in Japan, too, is, like, my best friend, his wife is a personal trainer. And, my best friend's just, like, big, sort of chubby Irish guy. And he's actually, when we go to McDonald's, he would order a Big Mac, fries, a large Coke, and then a quarter pounder on the side.
Right.
And then he marries this personal trainer, this woman with, 1% body fat, and...
Okay.
She really whipped him into shape, though.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but she was considering going to Japan to be a personal trainer because, the businessmen will pay large coin to have an attractive white woman teaching, teaching him, doing
training,
little personal training. Yeah, so it's kind of a status thing. But I don't know. Maybe this thing goes on here. I don't know.
Yeah, it's entirely possible that whoever placed the ad. Is now that it wasn't a hoax, but that he's finding more subtle places to advertise.
Maybe. Yeah, he got out there.
Yeah.
I don't know. But he did provide, there was a cell phone number, but I would not even call it just because maybe it just somebody posted it to get somebody else in trouble or something. Yeah, that's another reason, actually. We avoid revealing our names and our real pictures because, due process and habeas corpus are not quite what they are here as they are in North America. And I've heard a lot of horror stories that, people will go to the Korean police agency and just post on their, report a crime, any crime, web board, like, oh, this teacher is selling drugs. Right. And based just on an anonymous web board posting to the police, they will come to your school. And they will take you out of class, and they will give you a drug test. And then sometimes, other ESL teachers who want to settle a score will use that, that guy stole my girlfriend, I'll show him. He'll have to pee in a cup.
And speaking of, just on, sort of on that related subject, there's BBC, I think, is getting ready to do a show, or I saw a little thing on the crawl, about the internet... culture in Korea, and that it can get beat 'em up and verbally violent,
cyber vigilant.
Yeah.
We were talking about a few weeks ago about the dog dung lady.
Yeah.
And then there was another one too about some guy who was dating his girlfriend, and then they broke up, and then she killed herself, and he was to blame, and his picture is on all these message boards, and the company he's working at, and where he actually lives.
And his life is over.
Yeah. There was another thing, too, where the government was going to put the names of parents who remove their children's Korean citizenship. A lot of parents will go abroad, either purposely, and have their child abroad and get citizenship in America, Canada, so they have a dual citizenship. But when it comes to serving in the army, so then they drop their Korean citizenship. But the government closed this loophole, but gave them an amount of time to drop their citizenship. After this date, no more, your child will have to serve in the army. So there's a huge mad rush of parents to sort of remove their child citizenship. And then the government, they announced they were going to put the names of those parents on the internet. Mm-hmm. For what reason other than...
shame.
You know, public to shame them. Right. Even though they're doing something completely legal, right. You know, they're just going to put their names on the internet. I don't know. So,
well, when you start touching on issues of patriotism and defending the homeland, that's an exceedingly emotional issue for a lot of people.
But, you know, the government, out of one side of its mouth is saying, you know, right. North Korea is not our friend now, they're not our enemy, and the other side of their mouth is saying, give us your children. You know?
Right.
Well, why? Who's our enemy? You know?
Right.
I don't know. So, yeah. But I guess we're really straight from the topic, but we don't really have much of a teaching opportunity of the week. But then I think it was Monday, I met this Australian lady in Starbucks, really, really nice lady, and her name's Pauline, and she's a recruiter in Australia. She has a company called teachinasia.com.au, Australia.au. So teach-in-asia.com.au, and she's here for about a month, basically just checking out schools, making sure they're okay and stuff like that. So I thought that was kind of cool. She seemed really sort of stand-up kind of woman, and anybody that's really coming here to check out the schools and make sure they're good schools and the teachers are happy and stuff like that.
That's a good sign.
So, yeah. Her email address is actually on her little business card. But I've given you the website. And again, the website will be on our blog. But, yeah, so if you're looking for another kind of stand-up recruiter, this woman's quite a good woman. So email her, visit the website, email Pauline. Mention our podcast too. You know.
Oh,
heard from Soul Survivors. What's that?
Heard about you from Soul Survivors.
Yeah, it'd be good to find out if people are actually following up on our little job opportunities of the week. But yeah, but she also places people. She places people in Japan, Korea, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Singapore, China, UAE, United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain. Yeah. So if even Korea is not to your liking, Taiwan is supposed to be another good place.
Yeah, I think the three money makers in are at least considered to be Korea, Japan, and Taiwan.
Yeah, Taiwan.
Although what I'm reading about Vietnam is that even though the money isn't quite as much, the cost of living is so low that you can end up saving about as much as you would here in Korea.
Yeah, it's just, yes, not the salary at the end of the day, it's the cost of living. You know, Japan can be like really expensive,
right.
And you don't get a free apartment, and you know, if you're paid only a little bit more than a Hagwon teacher in Korea, yeah, you're not going to be saving a lot of money. But I think people go to Japan not really to save so much money. It's just because, you know, they love Japan. Right. Japanophiles kind of thing. So, yeah. So definitely email Pauline.
Korean kids do the darndest things.
Korean kids do the darndest things. In my time here, you know, kids get into conflicts, right?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah. As you were saying, they're quite passionate. Even the children are really passionate.
Oh, yes.
You know, one time we were at this teacher inter-Hagwon sports event, and most bizarre thing I've ever been in. I was like the only foreigner there. You know, we're talking like 2 dozen different Hagwons. I'm the only foreigner. And all these Hagwon owners went up to my boss after, and they're like, how did you get your foreigner to come to this? We couldn't get our foreigner to come to this. You know? It's like he was like the superstar of the, you know, of the Hagwon industry, because he could get his foreigner.
He could wrangle his whitey.
It was strange, but he loved me after that, you know, because he was just, you know. But yeah,
you bought him status.
Yeah, I did. Right. I think, I don't know, right. But you know, hey, what the hell?
Sure.
You know, I'll do it. It's not like I don't, my philosophy is I don't work as many hours as the Koreans, so I don't mind my occasional devotional day, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah. And, but, you know, you have no idea what's going on, and there's weird sporting of things that you don't understand. Like, there's like this volleyball soccer game.
Okay.
It's like the rules of volleyball, but a soccer ball, and you're kicking the ball instead of, like, you know, spiking the ball with your hands.
Okay.
I don't know. And all the schools had, like, a theme. You know, like, one school had, like, the Korean drummers. And another school had, like, clowns. And our school had cheerleaders.
Cheerleaders are good.
Yeah. I didn't quite understand at first it was a theme, but I just saw that we just had these three women, and then, like, the little skirts and the midriff-bearing tops. And I'm just like, what do they teach? I thought they were teachers. You know, I'm like, geez. They must be at the you know, the other school. I don't know. But then I realized, oh, Jesus, we hired them. And I thought that was a little bit...
We hired?
Yeah, why did we have to hire cheerleaders? You know, it seemed to me kind of a little bit too sexist, you know? And so, you know, they're leading us in all these cheers through the whole day. And I thought we were doing a pretty good job of following the cheers. And but halfway through the day, you know, the head cheerleader, she threw down her little pom-poms.
And, in a huff.
Yeah,
oh my.
And she stormed off the field. And the other two little cheerleaders kind of continued for about 30 seconds, and then they kind of reluctantly followed her. And so I'm asking my co-teacher, I'm like, what's going on? And she said, oh, the head cheerleader didn't think we were trying hard enough.
Ooh.
Like, we've upset her professional sense, you know.
Oh dear.
Like, you know, I've gotten Samsung engineers to do pyramids, human pyramids, you know. I deserve better than this. You people are lame. But I don't know. I thought we were doing a good job.
Yeah.
But yeah. The people, they take that seriously.
Okay. Okay.
But, so yeah. So the adult teachers are playing this game of foot volleyball soccer, and there's a bad call or something. And, you know, it's a friendly game. And
right.
Suddenly, oh my God, it just, you know, people are like up against each other and shouting each other down. And
not that friendly, apparently.
Yeah. But immediately I saw my children in these adults, and I'm like, oh. It made me feel better in that it wasn't me, it wasn't my lack of ability to control my classroom or instill values in the children.
It's just Koreans.
It's just the way, you know. It's just, you just react and... Yeah, I don't know. And conflict resolution, when it's sort of a difference of, you know, opinion, well, you know, who gets this or who sits here.
Who gets to go first.
Yeah.
Right.
Or who has to go first.
Right.
I would try the eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Like, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a Carl by his tail. You also let him go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Right.
And that never satisfied any child.
No.
And then I would try to draw a name out of the hat, and that would not satisfy any child. Even though it's like they can see that it's purely random, right? It's not a biased choice.
Favor anyone, right?
They would still get upset.
Didn't like it.
But then the one thing that they would all live by was...
Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, rock, paper, scissors. And do you know why?
Why?
Yeah. Again, I thought about this a long time. Why rock, paper, scissors? And, well, one thing, believe it or not, rock, paper, scissors is actually Asian.
Okay.
Yeah, it's something we've imported from Asia. We think of it as our game.
Sure.
But yeah, it was actually sort of a, I think it originated in China. And even what the kids call it, like Kai Bai Bo, that might be the Chinese.
I noticed that when they're saying it in English, we say, well, I say rock, paper, scissors.
Right.
They, as often as not, more often than not, will say rock, scissors, paper.
Okay. Yeah. So it's actually kind of an Asian thing. There was some Japanese businessman. He had this huge, huge art collection. This was like a year or so ago. And he couldn't decide which auction house to auction his art collection. It was like Christie's or whatever the other one is. Christie's or
Sotheby's.
So yeah, good, thanks. And so he couldn't decide. But he just didn't want to favor one over the other and then piss them off. So he actually had them do rock, paper, scissors.
Wow.
Yeah, to decide on who who would get to auction off his art collection. Because, you know, it meant millions in their pockets, too. So one of the guys who was responsible for the rock, paper, scissors, like, he consulted with his daughter. Like, you know, and she's, you know, the Homer, you know, the Bart Simpson. Yeah,
right.
Nothing beats rock.
Well, something does beat rock, though.
Well, that's what Bart says. Nothing beats rock.
Oh.
Yeah, but, yeah, something does beat rock. Paper beats rock.
Right.
Yeah. But what I think is, okay, this is the reason why I think rock, paper, scissors solves all problems. And they'll abide by this for, like, all time.
Oh, right.
It absolutely settles everything.
There's no whining or moaning afterwards. It's like, oh, okay.
Everybody understands. He won. I lost. And so I think there's a certain dual psychology, okay, that, you know, remember, Korea is a very hierarchical society. Okay, so if you've won rock, paper, scissors, you can accept you've won. Because have you ever given food to a child? If you give food to a child, they immediately share the food with all the other children.
Wow.
Okay, so there's a certain sharing ethic among the children.
Okay.
And it's bad if one child sort of sticks out and has something extra. Okay, but that child will be beaten down.
Okay.
So remember, there's a psychological cost for the winning child. Okay, but the winning child, when he wins rock, paper, scissors, okay, he can legitimately feel good about winning because there's a very slight skill element to rock, paper, scissors. Okay, so he can accept, oh, well, I've won because I'm simply good at rock, paper, scissors. You know, I've won my soccer game. I've won rock, paper, scissors because I have a skill in rock, paper, scissors. So the child can feel good. The losing child can feel good because he can then focus it on the random nature.
Right.
Right. I didn't lose because I'm a bad person or I'm lower in the pecking order.
It's just the way the rock, paper, scissors fell.
Yeah. So it balances out. So I think that maybe is why the children can accept
rock, no matter how scissors. Random it is, there's still probably a sense of having had some personal effect on the outcome.
The loser can take solace in the randomness. Right. The winner can take solace in, I won because I deserve to win, that kind of thing. Right. So I don't know. But I always think that, you know, we should solve more problems. Like adults.
Right.
Countries should solve more problems just with their rock, paper, scissors.
North Korea, South Korea.
Absolutely.
Turkey, Greece.
Which then sort of leads me to about kind of games Korean children play, or they like to play in class. And a recent discipline technique I've implemented is, you know, we will play hangman at a certain time. You know, it's like the last 5 minutes of class or the last 10 minutes of class, we'll play hangman. Kids love to play hangman.
Love it. I love it.
And so if you're right at the beginning of class, you're right, we're going to play hangman at like 5:50. Okay. And then anytime a kid misbehaves, now we're going to play hangman at 5:51.
Nice.
So you keep adding a minute. So again, now the kids don't want to be responsible for screwing all the other kids
whole
at the hangman.
Right.
Because, you know, there's going to be some wet towels or something to waiting for that kid out in the hall after, right? You know, the kid will be called the Wong Duck, the outsider.
Right.
So the kid doesn't want outsider status, you know, screwing all the other kids out of hangman. So I think that is my latest technique for maintaining discipline. But in all things, it's like, you know, it's like dopamine and Parkinson's. You know, it works well for a bit. And then it begins. You just become immune to it, and
you have to find a new antibiotic.
Exactly, you got to find something else. So, so try it, and it'll work about a month, and then you'll have to find something else.
But that'll give you a month to think of something else.
Yeah. But you know, one of the again, in terms of games Korean kids play, it's kind of like every every few months they're into something new. You know, John, have you noticed if your kids are into any games or toys or fads?
I think they're what little bits of it that I pick up, their pop culture vocabulary changes every few months.
All right.
Monkey 1, Monkey 3, and Monkey 5 are currently being bandied about.
Monkey
comes from this show,
Oh, really?
This sketch comedy show, and two of the characters, recurring characters, are Monkey 3 and Monkey 5. And,
wow.
I hear that quite a bit these days.
Swearing? The kids are into the swearing?
Well, yeah. I get told from time to time that, teacher, he said,
Puck you,
or yeah. Puck, or...
Yeah. Right. And that's not even kind of us making a euphemism. It's turned into how they tend to pronounce it more, the puck.
Right, there's that F and P problem thing.
Yeah, there's no F in Korean, so they sometimes substitute the P, puck.
Right.
Puck.
Yeah. I also...
Fish, not fish.
A couple of months ago, I had a class that was particularly rambunctious, and I ended up having to say quite often and throughout the whole class... No Korean.
Okay.
No Korean. And finally, toward the end of the class, one of the students pointed out something that another of the students had written on a piece of paper, and I asked, well, what is that? And she said, I can't tell you. I can't tell you, teacher. So I took the piece of paper, got it translated later, and it basically translated to, shut the puck up.
Oh, man.
Hey.
Great. One of my friends, she was teaching, and the two girls were passing around a note. And so she sort of took the note from them. And it was all written in Korean, but they looked horrified. So she can't figure out the Korean. She just figured it's like, you know, teacher has a big nose or something. So later on, she goes back to her teacher's office, and she shows the note to the Korean teacher. And the Korean teacher sort of looks at it, and she's like, oh my God. And then she immediately walks to the class and says to the two girls, I am going to call your mothers. She comes back, and she's like, What did they write in the note? And it was something about, you know, like, the boy in the class and one of his body parts slapping one of their body parts. Yeah.
Oh.
Like rather graphic adult stuff for 12-year-olds. And I'm like, you know, in North America, maybe these days we'd have no surprises if 12-year-olds were talking like that with, you know, because what's his name's bringing sexy back, right? Justin Timberlake, you know,
right.
So this is going to happen, you know. But in Korea, it's... Our children seem so innocent to us, and we don't ever imagine they have those thoughts. And yeah, so it's, you know, I was horrified when she was just even telling me. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, goodness.
Yeah. But you know, my own list when my email to you, I'm like, things the kids are all into, and then I sort of list off a whole list of over the 3 years. Children have been into. So it's like rattlesnake magnets, Yu-Gi-Oh cards, Doc G, spy pens. Yeah, and I end the list with like puck, but not with the P, but with the F. You know, because it's really frustrating sometimes when you're spending a great deal of your class time just simply taking the latest toy, the latest fad from the child.
Right.
Oh. But spy
cuts
pens.
Cuts into teaching time.
Yes, they're really into the spy pens these days, where it's just, you know, like sort of ultraviolet ink on one end, and then they have like a little, then the pen has
nice.
A little ultraviolet light on the other end.
Nice.
And then the little spy pens. And then there was like, this thing, it's called Doc G. It comes back in fashion every few months. It's like Pog, what we call Pog, they call Doc G.
And I don't know what Pog is.
Oh, you have a nephew?
Do I have what?
Do you have a nephew?
No.
All right. My nephew is really into the Pog. It's kind of like little pieces of cardboard, and you have like a slammer, something heavier that you slam onto the Pog, and then if it flips it over, you get to keep it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. And then it was like kind of like tiddlywinks or something they're into. Okay. I don't know if tiddlywinks, where they kind of got to pick some little stones up.
Oh, I've seen them playing something that looks quite a bit like jacks, only they're not jacks, they're little
stones.
Little stone things.
Yeah, or little plastic things filled with like shot or something. Yeah. But it involves slamming them down on the desktop, which they think they can play in the middle of class, and, you know, slamming stones down on the desktop.
Because teacher's not going to notice that.
That's not going to disturb the class. And then, fortunately, these rattlesnake eggs, or these rattlesnake magnets, were very short-lived. They're just basically two egg-shaped magnets, and when you throw them in the air, they kind of, you know, they sort of rock between, you know, the North Poles come together and repulse, and then knocks them to the South Poles and repulse, and then but the middles are held by their magnetism, and it makes a hell of a racket. And again,
I actually kind of like them a lot. But
yeah, they're cool, but when they're doing it in class.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's a wonderful noise. Yu-Gi-Oh cards, it's again like, you know, what was it?
Pokemon stuff.
Yeah, Pokemon cards or Magic. Magic the Addiction, they called it.
Magically Addiction?
No, there was a card game called Magic. Magic the Gathering or something. But it was quickly redubbed Magic the Addiction.
Magic.
Because you just kept buying more cards for this game. Yeah.
Okay.
Remember one of
someone's good marketing idea.
Wizards of the Coast. Did you ever see those magic cards? Really? Oh, they were really popular maybe about 5-10 years ago. Wizards of the Coast, Seattle company.
No, I was probably out of the country at the time.
Probably.
Anytime someone says to me, "Oh, do you remember this commercial?" or "Oh, do you remember that series?" or I don't, but it means I probably was out of the country.
No, but it was like really popular with like computer people, engineers, and stuff like that. And they would pay untold sums to buy booster decks and all these things. I never really got into the game. Wow. Although I, you know, as a Dungeons and Dragons geek, I dabbled. Yeah, I don't know. But when I was in Seattle, because Wizards of the Coast, they're in Seattle, and the artist next to me, he did all our web pages and stuff. Three years he sits next to me, and only when I leave do I find out he was an artist for the original deck of cards. He has like three or four of the cards in the deck is his artwork.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, how much did that pay? And he's like, well, it was the lowest paying job I ever took that ended up paying the most. Because they gave him a little bit of cash, but then they gave him stock. And then the stock went up. And then, of course, he got to retain his original art. Which, you know, on eBay, during the height of the... I mean, it was like the height of the dot-com boom. So you have all these auction-rich techies who will now pay untold sums for, you know, I don't know, his original artwork. Yeah.
Wow.
And then he's got all these rare decks, you know, alpha decks and beta decks. And, yeah, it was kind of cool. But not that I was really into the game. I wasn't like, ooh, let me touch the hem of your robe, you know.
Right.
But I thought, well, you know, for 3 years I could have bragged to all my techie friends back in Toronto, like, yeah, the original deck, I know that
dude. I sit right next to him.
Yeah. I don't know. So, yeah. But the Yu-Gi-Oh cards, again, they were playing that. I remember my boss was always taking the cards from the kids. Yeah. That's kind of fun, too, is actually seizing their property.
Right.
Have you done that?
I have seized cell phones.
Okay.
Handphones.
All right.
Until the end of class.
All right.
And other, sometimes even just something so simple as a pencil case, because for whatever reason their pencil case is occupying their attention instead of me.
It's got a stupid game on top.
Something.
Loud, stupid game.
So I just take it and put it aside. I don't even make a big deal out of it. Just as I walk by, I pick it up and put it away and keep talking. And
you know, what I do is I first tell them, you know, put it in your backpack. And then, but if it somehow goes in the backpack and comes out again, then I take it and I put it on the head teacher's desk.
Nice.
Yeah. Then they learn. What about tattoos? Around the World Cup, kids were into the tattoos.
Henna things?
What's that?
These henna tattoo things?
No, just kind of like, you know, like rub lick-on tattoos or something. Yeah. Tattoos have a strange status in Korea. Like, not many Koreans have tattoos.
I have.
They're kind of socially unacceptable because they're associated with like gangsters.
Right.
Kind of basically gangsters have okay. tattoos. Yeah. And if you have tattoos, you know, you might not be able to join a gym or go to a, you know, like a bath
wow.
house or something here if you have like visible tattoos because, you know, you're a gangster.
Wow.
Yeah. So you may get stares or you just may even be barred from entering.
Wow.
Yeah. It's changing a little, especially with World Cup, because people started to rub on tattoos. And again, a lot of the, you know, television celebrities, you know, the Korean stars are sort of seeing what the Western stars and the Japanese stars are doing. And they're incorporating some of the tattooing. So, yeah. Body piercing, not a big thing.
Earrings, sure, but
no. Yeah. Even like the pierced ears, it's changing a bit, but pierced ears are kind of like, that's a girl's reward for graduating high school. When she graduates high school and goes to university, her dad will allow her to get her ears pierced.
Wow.
Yeah. Remember my friend Rose, she had her nose pierced. And my friend Rose is like late 20s. And all of her girl students were like, teacher, did your dad let you get your nose pierced? And she's like, no, I just got it myself. Really? You don't have to ask your dad's permission?
Funny. Yeah, different world.
Yeah.
Different world.
But one girl in one class, remember, she got her ears pierced. You know, she's like 12 or 11 or something. And yeah. Ooh, and her social status just went up.
Wow.
Okay. She would bring like her pierced earrings into class, and then all the other girls would like moon over her pierced
wow.
earrings and like, why don't you wear those tomorrow? I think I will wear those tomorrow.
Wow.
But I would have to seize their earrings from
there.
Them. Yeah. Alright, so that's our Sarah-less show this week. Again, you can email your questions to us at gokorea@gmail.com. gokorea@gmail.com. Check us out on the internet at www.gokorea.info.info. No .com after the info. Yeah. And next week is our post-Pepero show. So if you want to lay bets what the snack of the week is...
It's going to be Pepero.
Might be Pepero, yeah. So if you're wondering what Pepero is, stay tuned. Yeah, tune in next week. John, any final parting words?
Be well. See you next week.
Yeah. Weather's turning.
Oh, my God, is it turning.
A little cold now.
I haven't yet had to turn on my heater, but I've thought about it.
Yeah, because what is this? This is like November 5th.
5th, right?
Yeah. My apartment's still 24 Celsius. I don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's not cold.
Yeah. But room temperature in Canada would be 22, 23.
Right.
Yeah. Most Canadians would keep their room at about even 21, 22 Celsius would be considered a good room temperature. So, yeah, November, window open, and my place is still about 24 inside. But it's actually legitimately jacket weather. I think we can go most of the day with a jacket on,
right,
and not feel like we're sweating pigs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Fall is upon us.
Yeah. All right. And the leaves are actually turning.
Yeah, I wish they would actually turn colors, aside from just like yellowing, browning, and falling. But
have you noticed people under trees lately collecting up the nuts?
I have not noticed nut collectors yet.
Okay. I saw a lot today.
Cool.
Yeah. But I didn't see any tree kickers. Maybe just because the trees are getting bigger.
Right, they might kick back. I don't know.
Yeah. Tree beard or something. All right, okay, so see you next week.
Bye.
Bye, John.